You know, I'm sitting here legitimately sad that basketball season's over. Good God, that's hard to say. Say legitimately and then try to say sad right after each other. Legitimately sad. Okay, I did it there. It was tough for me. That's why I'm a newspaper guy and not a radio guy, but I'm recording these podcasts, and I think we're on episode 4 now. But enjoy. Welcome to the Wyatt Wheeler Podcast. I am Wyatt Wheeler. This is the 3rd episode. I know I just said it's the 4th, but it's the 3rd. Get over it. In this episode, we're going to be talking about Missouri State basketball, my sadness, why you should be sad, why you should be excited. Did the Bears miss an opportunity by not beating Bradley, who went on to win the tournament? It's just it's a sad thing, but there's a lot to be excited for. A lot of the people I talk to think the Bears will be the best team next season, and I kind of agree with them. I think Northern Iowa will probably be good with A.J. Green for the next few years. I think Bradley's still going to have their core that just won them this tournament. And I think Darren DeVries is legit. So there's going to be some competition for the Bears next year, but people respect the Bears, and that's a testament to what Dana Ford did this first season. We're going to be talking about basketball, sadness. We're going to be trying to avoid Missouri State baseball right now. They're 3-10. They're going to go on a road for 4 or 5 tough games next week against Oklahoma State, Oral Roberts, and Oklahoma. So it doesn't look like it's going to get any easier, so they're going to be to figure it out soon. But I'm going to be taking in as much basketball as I can the next few weeks. That's going to be high school basketball championships, Drury, Lady Bears. There's a lot of basketball still to go, and I'm going to take that in, and it'd be nice I can give other people my attention. In this episode, we're going to be talking about Missouri State basketball. I'm going to call Blaine out of nowhere, probably. I'll probably shoot him a text. He's actually in Florida right now on spring break, so you never know what kind of Blaine you're going to get on the phone. So we're going to try that. I'm also going to try to do a new fun segment with Bailey. I think that can be entertaining and fun. Our conversations. It's Bailey Vasali. I don't care how you really say it because I don't respect her. But also, I'm gonna try to play some sound from postseason stuff. It's gonna be Dana Ford. You'll probably hear from Jared Dixon in there, Ryan Kreklow. I also have some sound from Dejuan Harris and Javonte Black from Rockbridge. They're 2 MSU signees, and they were teasing that they're trying to get Isaiah Mosley to Missouri State. Isaiah Thomas would be pretty good, probably, but Isaiah Mosley, they're trying to work on him. They think his announcement will come after the season. So we'll see about that. I'll play some Dana Ford postseason. I'll play Barry Henson's emotional goodbye. He's done at Southern Illinois. And the man who loves – I wonder what he was doing when he was watching the Valley game today. He's probably shed a single tear. That's how I kind of picture it, shed a single tear. But that's pretty much what we got for this episode. I'm not sure what order it'll be in. I'm not sure if we'll have all of the things I just said, but I'll do my best. Episode 3, for some reason, last episode was the most listened to. And you guys keep listening, and I am going to keep doing these because I'm kind of enjoying it. And I hope you guys are enjoying it, but here's the episode. Well, I think we got this working again, but Blaine crapped out there, and he might literally be crapping right now because he's coming live from a bathroom in Destin, Florida. Is that right, Blaine?
That is right. I'm not on the toilet, but just making sure the acoustics sound right. So,
well, that's where I'd be on the throne. So you got to watch Bradley while you were in Florida. Is that what I was seeing on the Twitter?
Yeah, I was at the beach for a little while, and then I went back just because I had to watch the whole game. And man, that was a fun game. I was thinking, I tweeted it out too. You know, with all the competition, this had the chance to be, obviously, everyone thought, one of the best Valley tournaments in a while. And Bradley surprised me. I knew they had some talent. They won what, 8 of the last 10 before they beat Missouri State, and for them to do that, and they charged late, and they looked pretty good. the fact of what the Valley has done in the NCAA tournament over the last however many years, there's no reason for me to believe that Bradley can't win a first-round game.
Yeah, and I think it really sucked to watch that, especially knowing how close the Bears were. Those 4 points from beating Bradley, and now Bradley's in the tournament, and they beat Bradley twice during the regular season. So that really sucks.
Yeah, and that was running through my head the whole time I was watching it, just thinking if Missouri State was able to get that presence with the Silva a little bit more, they should have won that game. So
yeah, it was a seven. I mean, it was they were up by 7 at halftime. That's how close they should have beat them. That's really disappointing and something I'm sure will haunt the Bears. And you know me, I was looking up some bad stuff and doing some digging. I mean, Dana Ford has never won a tournament game in his career, whether it's at Missouri State or Tennessee State. And every single one of those games were by 2 or 3 points. Like, it's that insane. So it's that's something to keep an eye on going forward too. But I'm sure it'll be a little different. But
yeah,
get some new talent in. Everybody. I mean, I talked to a bunch of beat writers over the weekend, and they're all like, "Oh yeah, we'll have Missouri State number one." You saw my boy Paul Oren on there already saying that they're number one. So that's kind of a common thing already. I mean, I don't really like to make Missouri State number one when I go through a power ranking, but seeing what they have coming in, coming back, and what the rest of the league has coming in, coming back, I had Missouri State at one. I'm sure you can make an argument for Bradley now that they're going to have some of that core back. Drake. AJ Green's gonna be a terror in the Valley for the next 3 years. I think Darren DeVries is legit for as long as he's there. So, I mean, it's fun. It's a good thing to see. It's and Loyola will be around just because they have that national presence right now. Still, even after a couple years from the Final Four, or just 1 year from the Final Four, going on two now. They're going to still have that national reputation, and I'm sure they have some transfers coming in. I think Evansville will be better with some of its transfers that McCarty had to have sit out. Right. Yeah, there's a lot to – I mean, I think the team's on a downfall still. Illinois State's going to lose some, even though that they were the biggest disappointment in the league this year. Then you'll see Southern Illinois is probably the worst team in the conference. You see Barry getting canned, and I mean, all of his guys were seniors. So, whoever the next coach is, probably the associate head coach over at Loyola Mullins, is going to have a thin roster once he gets there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, but yeah, I was wondering your thoughts because I was looking at some Facebook stuff. I saw our friend over at Color 10, Dan Malloy, putting up on his Twitter. How people would grade Dana Ford's first season, and it was a bunch of negative people. So, did you see anything to be negative about after a year of Dana Ford?
Absolutely not. And for the reason why, and I don't know why people would be negative. I guess I think a lot of people, including some people I've talked to that aren't super involved or super knowledgeable like we are about some of the newcomers and what he dealt with when he was coming in.
Can you call me can you call me super knowledgeable again?
Yeah, you are super knowledgeable.
I like it. Thank you.
But whenever people see the record, I think some of the non-conference record you looked at and some of the losses they had in the Valley in general of how many losses people had in just non-conference in their regular season record wasn't very good. And I think people get too caught up in what the Bears finished. What did they finish again? Not off the top of my head.
Well, they finished 500.
Yeah. So, I mean, 500, it's not glaring. It's not beautiful. But if you're not knowledgeable about the fact that they were able to, you know, change some of that identity and what they had with some of the newcomers and three of the newcomers on the first team, you know what I mean? So just the stuff he had to deal with and all that, I think it plays into the factor of the record shouldn't be that big of a factor. You should look at what he was able to do and what he was able to show, and beating Loyola twice and beating Bradley twice, who won the conference. It was a great year for Dana Ford, and I believe that. And some of the things he did, even with a guy like Gage Prim, being able to sign him earlier before he was the WGCAC Player of the Year, you know. So I think it was a great year, absolutely. And I think next year, as we will probably mention multiple times on this podcast, is going to be even that much better. So some of those negative comments, I think you can just – put them in the dustpan and throw them in the trash, because those people don't have the correct opinions, in my opinion.
That's right. Correct opinions. I like it. I mean, it's I think they're clueless. I agree with you that they're not very connected in. I mean, it's tough. You don't see too many connected people in Missouri State athletics. I'm sure that some of that's been because of the recent non-success when they had Lusk. And I mean, the program used to be, it's one of the top win. It's one of the most winningest programs in the country. I think it's top 100 at least in wins. But it's not what some of the older people that they grew up on, not what they are used to. I mean, they're probably used to the Spoonhauer days. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to be ashamed about with this year. It was a pleasant surprise. It was fun. It was entertaining. It was something that we haven't had since being here. Since me and you started covering it. I said it earlier, and when I was recording prep stuff for this, was like, this was the most enjoyable time I've ever had covering this team. And that was the first time I ever went to a Valley Conference tournament without a pre-written article about the coach getting canned.
And that's the same thing too. I think a lot of those fans already had that pre-written article of not believing that the Bears were going to win the tournament. And we were talking to Art, we were talking to Mike Keltner there at the front desk in St. Louis, saying this was really one of the first times we felt like, and even some of the players, Dixon and Krekla, who had been there, that they had a chance. And I think that says a lot about Dana too, in the first year, that there is hope finally, even with the a monkey on your back, that they could still win it. And now that you kind of get that monkey off the back with some of these new guys coming in and that first year being gone and some of the hype coming in next year, that the Bears can really, really be good in this conference. So,
yeah, I really like the word hope. It's really what it is. I mean, you've been here. I mean, the pregame stuff the day before, the Thursday, when they give us a couple players and Dana, they were talking, I mean, it was Krekla and Dixon sitting up there like, we've never really felt like we could have won this tournament before. I mean, that's damning right there. That's exactly how it sounds. Whether it was last year when they were when they made history by actually playing in a play-in game when selected to win the league. Sure, there wasn't very much hope there, especially with the up and down year they had. There was a year before. They took Wichita State pretty deep and was playing pretty well with them in that first half in the semifinals. But I mean, Wichita State's depth was too insane.
Yeah, but they were so good for a while there.
But it's hard to have that hope. And MSU had it. MSU got it back.
And I think that's what really makes the program that much better, is not trying to get too into Wichita State and stuff of that, of what teams have really created a dynasty, as you say, dynasty. But the hope in showing up to games and regular season games, that hope, as I keep saying, is really important in creating a good basketball team. Because the players need to buy in, the coach need to buy in, the fans need to buy in, and getting recruits that have to buy in and things of that nature. So we'll see in the next couple of years if they can all put it all together and really show out to the potential. But I don't know. I like Prim. I like some of those guys that you were saying. So
yeah, and I mean, next
to kind of conjunct this with what we were talking about, and you were watching some of those Rockbridge guys, what did you exactly think of both all three of those guys?
Well, Harris is probably, he was the one I was most impressed with, ball handling, court vision, just being able to play active hands defensively. Some of the passes he was making were pretty insane. And he's athletic enough, too, to be able to outrun everybody to the other end of the court and throw down a dunk. Mosley, the one that's not committed to Missouri State but has an offer. And I'm sure, I mean, I saw him laughing there with Ford and Gip after the game. So I'm sure they're still after him. Harris told me that he thinks that Mosley will wait until after the season to make any kind of decision, and that's next week. So we're going to know sooner rather than later about his status. And then Black, I mean, there's the tough thing about Rockbridge is that they have four guys. I mean, they have a younger kid that's probably going to go D1 eventually. They have four guys that are worthy of touching the ball on every play. And there's only one ball, unfortunately. So Jamonte Black, I mean, the one game that I was able to see, he was kind of on the short end of that. And I'm sure I will be seeing him this weekend at JQH, whether it's Friday or Saturday. I plan on covering them if they're in the championship for sure to see get a story from those two there. So I really like them. I think especially if they can get Mosley, that's a hell of a trio.
That makes it level there. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Mosley could come in, play immediately. I think Harris can come in and play right behind Dixon immediately and even challenge him for a starting spot eventually. He's that legit.
If that's what you saw, of course, talking to me, I have huge expectations for Tyreek Dixon.
Yeah. Just
because of the ability of him being able to handle the ball so well. And even Josh Hall, I tweeted today, just talking about some of the newcomers and Prim and Dixon and Hall. The expectations for next year should really be through the roof. And with those guys, of which everybody kind of knows about, and then what you're talking about, I want to get into Tyan Freeman a little bit and thinking of how do you think he will recover and how do you think he will be next year? Will he be a factor, or what are your views on that?
Yeah, I mean, he's got some recovery still to go. He's in month two of 6 to 9 months recovery. So he's still working on getting that 100%. The thing that makes him such a incredible player is his athleticism. I mean, it's better than anything Missouri State probably had this past year, and that's kind of saying something with Tulio da Silva on the roster.
Right.
I mean, he's a freaky athlete.
Just incredible bounce, incredible.
Yeah, and I mean, he could score from anywhere, too. That's just another part about him. He's able to shoot from outside, get to the rim. Finish the plays and dunk on kids. But I'm cautiously optimistic about his chances for this upcoming year. I know Ford wants to get back to 13 active on the roster, and that would mean I'd have to do some of the math. But I'm sure Tyam, I'm sure Jamonte might. Those two are kind of on the borderline for a red shirt this freshman year. I think Ford has mentioned in the past that he wants to throw a red shirt on most of his freshmen that he brings in. And I'm sure that he's going to want to try to bring in some other people too. So we're going to have to wait and see. I don't have any doubts that Tyam's going to be able to bounce back and be really good for MSU. It's just a matter of when.
Right. And that's to the fact of some of those freshmen, as he might mention that he might want a redshirt, transfers in the Valley are very big, very important. And we've seen that with DeSilva, with Dixon, and even Hall, guys that we didn't expect to be a Bear at this time last year. You drop the point guard. You dropped a couple guys off your team last year when Dana comes in, and there's still the possibility of the Bears adding some kind of transfer from now until next season as well. And you got to keep that in the back of your mind when you're thinking about some of these freshmen and what they can add to the team, because you never know who can come in.
Yeah, and you gotta pay attention to the scholarship offers too, and what scholarships they have available. I would anticipate the first news to come from this season, this off season, would be the status of Abdul Fofana and whether or not he's going to take up a scholarship. You got to keep an eye on guys like Darian Scott, who might get pushed. He might get pushed back in playing time a little bit because of Prem coming in. And you got to look at Kabir Muhammad, who might get a little less playing time, but I don't anticipate him leaving, but I would anticipate maybe something different for him.
I agree.
So there's a few items to drop before you see some things concerning scholarships.
Exactly. And I think to go back to kind of that hope thing, some of the guys on the roster may not be as good as what Dana Ford kind of expects out of this program to have on his guys on the bench. So,
well, you also see that those aren't some of the names he selected either. So, I mean, Darian Scott's not a guy that he picked out. Abdul Fofana's not a guy that he picked out. Kabir Muhammad's not a guy he picked out. So you're going to see I think the only locks up there would be Keandre Cook, Tulio Da Silva, Josh Hall, Tyreek Dixon, Gage Prem. I think he likes Ritter. He always talks highly of Ritter. I don't think Ritter will want to go anywhere. He already came back to be home. And the Woschick twins, you got to see what happens with Shimon when he comes back. You figure that the Woschick twins are a package deal, so him and Jan will be sticking around. And then that just brings you to Ross Owens, and it's pretty much his roster. You'll see a lot of his guys starting next year, so that'll be probably Keandre, Tulio, Gage Prim, Josh Hall, Tyreek Dixon, and throw in another one right there. So maybe Ritter, he's going to have a lot of options. Depth's not going to be a problem next year, thank God. So we'll see. It's there's a lot of things that kind of have to drop before what happens. And I'm sure they'll be going after some other things just to see if they can get immediate transfers. Again.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry about that. People just came into this bathroom that I was in, but yeah, there's so many people in this house. It's crazy. It's just geez. But yeah, it'll be fun to see because there is so much possibility of what can happen, what will happen, and so do that. So my phone's at 1%. That's why they came in, because they had to give me a charger. I was yelling at them to give me a charger so I could keep doing this. But no, it's first place. Okay, this is we're gonna put some things on this. First place, if you were to have a percentages of expectations, 1 to 100% expectations, what would you think your wager to be on the Bears of actually finishing first in the regular season next year?
Oh, man.
You have in it.
Something always happens to them. You can always bet on a weird thing happening during the season, whether it's Obadiah Church leaving or cryotherapy stuff, or what was the year before that? There had to be, I mean, the year before that, can't think of what that was. Oh, Ronnie Russo III.
Russo with his family and had to go home.
There's always something that comes up. So there's finishing first with this conference. I mean, you got to put it at probably in the 30s.
Right. Still tough to do. Yeah.
It's still, I mean, there's still other teams that are going to be in 20s or 10s, so that's going to take up all the way to 100. So it's, I mean, their odds are probably higher than others. They haven't been there in a long time. They're due. I think we're confident in the direction things are going.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that will grow. The confidence will grow. The percentages probably will get higher. But as of right now, with how they finish this year, you can't be all in, if you know, and you can't imagine too much about it. So,
no, I mean,
but it's definitely there, and I feel like a lot of the fans feel like it's there, and a lot of fans know that it's the possibility there too. So,
yeah, just not a lot of people on the Color 10 Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of the, of course, I'm here with a lot of the students who are watching that NBC final because, you know, I drug them to the TV to watch it with me because they knew it. Most of them are basketball fans, and they were asking, why were the Bears not in this, or why were the Bears not good enough, or yada, 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 because they saw the record and they saw the fact that they lost the first round, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. I just feel like once they start adding some of those guys and winning some of the games in the non-conference and some of the, for instance, losing to Valparaiso early or losing a couple of games they shouldn't have in the Valley, that it'll get better. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's an easier sell, too, if they could win a couple of non-conference games because, I mean, I had some roommates walk in today that were like, wait a second, they were 500 and you were talking about how good they were all year. So, I mean, just making that record look a little better with some non-conference wins because they were pretty bad in non-conference this year.
Yeah, and to add to it, I mean, the first year with Dana Ford, it's understandable, but a lot of people can't put the 2 and 2 together, that the scenario and all that stuff together. So
I'm telling Paul Lusk had a better record last year. Might as well bring him back. I was suggesting today the Southern Illinois, they want a former player so bad. They want a guy with some Valley experience. That all sounds like Brian Mullins, but all I hear is Paul Lusk.
Paul Lusk going to Southern Illinois.
Coming back home. That's what I'm saying.
Southern Illinois. Paul Lusk gets fired. Goes to Southern Illinois.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. Paul probably doesn't want to be a Creighton with all that FBI stuff poking around.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm telling you.
Get out of there fast.
The comeback, I'm telling you. He's going
to. People who are in the Valley seem to love it, seem to not want to go away. So, opportunity there. Does Paul Lusk like the Valley that much, too?
Yep. I think it's there for the taking.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
That's Imagine hilarious. Him beating the Bears for so many years. Like, people were okay with Barry, but if he came in and did that, oof.
That might get a little bit testy.
Oof.
H on the night with Southern Illinois in the house on a big game. Might hear quite a bit of booze. Would you hear booze, though?
Yes.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people kind of still respect Paul Lusk, but for some of the situational things that happen.
I mean, Barry's Barry, too.
He's probably the best personality we've seen in the Valley in what, however many years he's had, 16 that he's been doing it.
So. Yeah, he's something else, isn't he?
He is. Did you watch that press conference?
Yeah, I was watching that live. It was kind of surprising. I didn't think they'd do it like that, but it kind of fits once you think about it a little more.
Yeah, it was interesting. I agree. I didn't think it was going to happen, but I watched it, and I think he said the right things. And you know, I respect Barry Hinson. I respect him for kind of who he's been and always kind of having that energy, I guess you could say, and that positive attitude, just kind of that happy-go-lucky guy. So yeah. I like him as a guy. I wish he would have been a more successful coach in the Valley. But
yeah,
a lot of people in Springfield still like him and respect him, too, for what it's worth.
It'll be interesting what happens to him. I've heard, I mean, there's rumors that there's always been the rumor that he could come back in some capacity at Missouri State in the athletic department. There's actually rumors right now that he might run for the governor of Oklahoma. So there's a ton of stuff out there about him right now that it'll just be interesting to see what happens. I hope he gets some kind of I hope he works with my hope is that he's in the Valley office. And he does some commentary stuff and like some kind of digital thing to help out their network.
Standing guy on a just TV commentator or color guy on a.
I mean, some YouTube videos of him breaking down games and stuff. I think that's. I think that would put the Valley over the edge. I think that would be a really good. I think that'd be a really good digital move for the Valley, and I think people would really like some quality insight like that. I think he would be able to give, and he's kind of a personality, so that would also help him.
Yeah, and I think he's open to give that too. He knows what he wants to give people, what people really don't know, and he's not afraid to share it. That's for sure. It's what he's seen. So I agree. It'd be a lot of fun to see Brady something like that.
But yeah, we're getting kind of deep into this.
28 minutes, or what is it,
30-minute cap? Yeah, 26 minutes. I think we should end this with the only way that the only thing people are here to probably listen to, but your thoughts on the zoo.
Wow. The first thing we saw, were those hippos making out, or what were they doing there?
I think they were trying to make out, but they couldn't. I mean, they got big mouths, big teeth, and it was kind of awkward, but
yeah.
Something was going on there, and I didn't want to stay around to watch.
Yeah, we didn't for very long. But when we were gone, the things I was looking forward to, as we mentioned on the past podcast, the lion, not there. And the tiger was not there. And then my favorite animal of all time, the chimpanzee, was not there.
Yeah, it's hibernation season for some of the animals. I think the chimpanzee was sick. I think I think my highlight was looking at the jaguars or the cheetahs. They were running around in circles. That was pretty marvelous. Was probably the word, magnificent, majestic, majestic.
I was gonna say my highlight was you and the penguins and the zookeeper and the question you asked the zookeeper.
Yeah, I asked the zookeeper a question that I've been wondering for years, and she just pissed me off.
She seemed kind of mad at you for asking the question.
I asked a zookeeper if a penguin tasted more like fish or chicken. And she got really offended. She told me, I don't know, it would taste awful. I'm like, well, would it taste more awful like a fish or more like a chicken? She said, go ask a sea lion. And that's basically her telling me to bleep off. And that was a sour note. Saw some bears right after that, but I was really upset with that. That was I've been wondering that for years, but I'll have to get a zookeeper on the phone, like one better than that person.
That was your best sourcing. That was your best opportunity to get that answer or that question answered, and you didn't get it answered. I was really hoping that you would get that answer because it's been a question for a while. But
yeah, but do I want the answer? Like, what if it's chicken and I've been wrong all this time?
Well, then I guess you're going to have to try a penguin if it's chicken or fish.
I think either way. They look fishy.
I agree. A penguin is a fish. It tastes like a fish. I wouldn't say that. But it probably tastes terrible.
I don't know. I think
it would taste bad.
I'll have to go and find one.
All right. Well, we're ending this here.
I'll let you come out of the bathroom. I'm sure people think you're kind of weird right now, and or they think you have really bad stomach ache. But but it was good talking to you. Enjoy your rest of the time in Florida. That was Blaine Wheeler at Blaine Wheeler 21 on the Twitter, and he's my brother, but not really. But thanks for taking your time out of your vacation, Blaine.
Yeah, I hope to see you this weekend. Might see Rockbridge with you.
Yep. Shoot me a text. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Wyatt. See you.
That was Brother Blaine Wheeler coming in for a report from Florida. Always enjoy talking to him, and I'm sure I'll be visiting with him. He's pretty good to get at last second when things start to fall apart. Like I said, no Bailey this week. She apparently has friends. Congratulations to her. I'm happy for her. Don't worry, I'm happy for her. Whether she believes me or not, I'm happy. But now we move on. I mean that took up some time, so you'll appreciate to have some time off, just a little shorter of a podcast, because that took a little bit of time and I have some other things I want to play for you. But in this next clip, you're going to hear from Rockbridge senior and Missouri State signee Jamonte Black talking about coming home to Missouri State to play in the state championships.
And you're going home, man.
Yeah, going back to where I'm going, so it just feels good. Get to play in front of my future crowd, so it just feels good.
Yeah, and just I'm the Missouri State beat writer, so I'm just curious, what made you select there, and what do you think
it just felt like home. First time I went there, Just feel like that's where I wanted to go. I wanted to stay close to home, so it was a perfect choice for me.
You said you were born there?
I was born in Columbia, but okay. Springfield's close enough.
Yeah. What did you see specifically from your guys' game tonight that you liked, you didn't like, and all that?
I like how we finished the game off. They made a run. They came back. I think they were only down by like 10. And then we pushed it back up to 20. It just shows that we can come back from anything. So.
Obviously, third time now in a row. Does this one feel the sweetest of the three, or how you
Yeah, this one feels the best senior year. You get to go to the Final Four, to the college you're going to, so it just feels good.
Just break down a teammate you're going with.
Oh, DeJuan? Yeah, he good. I'm glad I'm going with him. He does everything. He's a leader of our team. He does everything for us. Without him, we wouldn't be as good as we are. So I'm happy he's coming with us.
I mean, he showed off today. Just how much can he bring that to Springfield next year?
Yeah, he's going to be a monster in college. I can't wait to play with him.
And then.
And in this next clip, you're going to hear from DeJuan Harris. He is the Rockbridge point guard who has signed on to play at Missouri State. I think he's a steal. I did clip out the very end because there were a lot of other questions about a game that you guys probably don't care too much about at this point. But I asked him at the very end if he was going to do anything to try to get Isaiah Mosley to also commit to Missouri State. They said that him and Jamonte have been working on him pretty well. So here is the point guard of the future for Missouri State.
Yeah, just getting the win today, and now you're going to go play in front of your future home. Just how's it feel?
I think it feels really good to come out, have a whole bunch of people come out, watch us play. I think it's real good.
Yeah, I mean, they're already tweeting right now. They're following the live tweets throughout the game, just like, oh, we're already buying tickets to next week's game just to watch you two play. Just how exciting is that?
That's really exciting because they probably haven't saw me or my teammate Jamonte play. And then if we come out, give them a shot, I think they're going to like us a lot.
How nice is it to have him? Just a nice duo from Rockford.
It's nice because if I just drop, I just see him. I know he's a great shooter. I just kick it out to him every time.
And how do you think you project going to the next level? Do you think you're a start right away guy? What was your hopes?
I don't know. I'm just gonna come in and try to work hard as I can so I can be able to start or even get playing time.
You guys were pretty quick to commit to Missouri State right after Dana came in. Just what was it about him that made you want to play at MSU?
Well, the biggest part was staying close to my family. But he told me he hit the ball in my hands and let me work the show.
Mm-hmm. How do you think it's going to be next week, playing on your future home?
Hopefully, if we just keep playing defense, making shots, play as a team, then I think it'd be good. All right.
You seem to, as good as you are offensively, you seem to be as bought in defensively, too. It just seems like the Dana Ford type of recruit. It's just how much pride do you take in your defense?
It depends. Sometimes I can get a little lazy on defense, but if I really wanted to play, I'd be a really good defender.
And season comes to an end yesterday for MSU. Just what did you see, and what are you excited to? How excited are you to contribute to that next
year? I'm just ready to come in, make everybody else better on the court.
Apologies if the audio was bad on those. It was kind of a hectic situation following a game, and there was a lot of Columbia media there in addition to myself trying to sneak in and get some Missouri State stuff for you. But in this next clip, you're going to hear from former Southern Illinois head coach Barry Henson, the former Missouri State head coach. You're going to hear his entire goodbye in its entirety. I'm sure you might have seen it before. You might have heard it before. But just in case you hadn't, and I thought it'd be a nice thing to throw in here for you guys.
Hey, guys. I've been coaching 38 years. And I've been blessed to be a part of this conference for 16 years. And there's nobody that loves the Valley more than I do. Each and every venue that I've ever coached in has just been outstanding. I got to serve 9 years in Springfield, Missouri. Started off as Southwest Missouri, and I was the last coach at Southwest Missouri and the first coach at Missouri State. And then I got a second chance to come back to the Valley when Mario Mocha hired me to be the basketball coach at Southern Illinois. Just a great program and a tradition-rich program. I made last March, the chancellor, and we made a pact that if we didn't go to the NIT or the NCAA, that it would be time for me to step away. And I've had the most enjoyable year, believe it or not, being around these young men and being around my current athletic director, Jerry Keel. I couldn't be more excited right now for Suluki Athletics than what I am, because I know where it's headed. I know who's running the ship now. And I know we've had a lot of issues on campus there in Carbondale, but those issues are getting ready to go away. If you quote me on one thing, I'd like for you to quote me on this. I am so sorry. I am so sorry that we couldn't get back to the tournament. It's haunted me. It's haunted me my entire life. But I'm a man of faith, and my dad taught me a long time ago. I know not what my future holds, but I know who holds my future. I've made great friends, and these coaches in this league that I've made over the 16 years will be lifelong friends. The players that I've coached against and the players that I've had the opportunity to coach. And I've had the opportunity to work under one of the greatest conference commissioners that a guy could work under. I've been so blessed. And I've had tragedy in my life, and every time I've had it, somebody in the conference or the coaching community or the fans have rallied behind my family. But I want to thank you for giving me 16 wonderful years in this conference. And I'll do anything I can do to help in the future. But it's time. It's time for me to step away. Thank you.
On behalf of the Missouri Valley Conference, thank you for your service and Godspeed.
The next clip is the end of season Missouri State press conference with Dana Ford, Jared Dixon, and Ryan Kreklow. I'm going to play it in its entirety. I just want to give it all to you guys. I don't write every single word that they say in my articles, so I want to give you some things that you might be interested in instead of just whatever I write. So here's everything in its entirety. You can skip through. It doesn't matter to me.
Thank you. Congratulations to Bradley. I thought they played a complete game. In terms of our guys, you know, I thought the first half, obviously we made some shots and we played with a little bit more spirit than some segments there in the second half. But ultimately, I just thought that they were way more physical than us. And I think it kind of wore on us as the game went along. And, you know, our guys did what they've been doing all year, kept fighting to the end. We came up with a late play there, and I thought, like everybody, we had a chance there to win it. Kind of what we do is we control the pace and try to make some plays at the end. And tonight we just didn't make the play at the end. So unfortunately, we come up on the short end, but very proud of our players. And definitely proud of these two guys that are getting ready to have a seat. They're winners, and they're good young men. And that's about it.
First question here, and questions can be asked of any of the Missouri State Bears while they're up here. Go ahead.
Coach, now that your first season's over, just can you kind of just put it in perspective a little bit?
You know, it's hard to think about everything right now. What I will say is that, you know, the type of kids that we want in the program are established. You know, these guys that are sitting beside me, we want overachievers. We want guys that people count out, that exceed expectations. You know, one of the things that's really upset me this year, and I'm going to say it, is, you know, everyone talks about our league is down. Well, we returned a lot of starters on the teams that were picked to be good. And if our league is down, it's because the teams that were picked to be good weren't good. And we finished as well as most. And that, to me, is a discredit to these two guys that are sitting beside me. So that's my initial thought on our first year, is we exceeded expectations, even if people consider the league to be down.
For the guys, just what are you most proud of? And last game together, too. Just
Jared, you're first, then Ryan, please.
Just proud just of how we just fought all year when a lot of people didn't really think we were gonna be anything this year. Coach just told us that, like, I guess us three seniors, we like turned the program around. Turned a lot of heads and put this program in a great place for the future. And that's all you can really ask for. You can't always win every game. Just life doesn't really work like that. But just proud of how we all just came together and just left it all out there and just put this Missouri State basketball program in good hands. And it's gonna be a joy to I guess watch now from afar the success it's gonna have.
Yeah, I would piggyback off that. I mean, I'm just proud of the fight that we brought all year. I don't know if I've been a part of too many teams that were as close as we were on the court and off the court. So, I mean, there's just a family out there. So we were just out fighting for each other. And like JD said, like, I'm proud to be a part of what this program is going to be in the next few years. So,
Ryan, could you just kind of talk about that last kind of frenzy in the last couple of seconds? You stole that pass, had a shot. Just your thoughts when you got that and putting that up.
Yeah, so I cut the ball with about 8 seconds left, and it was kind of frantic. But I mean, I knew I was open, and I knew one thing, that I mean, there was a shot right there. So I didn't know if I held the ball, something else could have happened. So I knew. I mean, that shot. I mean, I was feeling it. I mean, I thought it was gonna go in. So I was just shot with confidence, but it just didn't go our way.
Jared, the fight at the end, you know, looked like they hit the three, then the two after that. It could have easily folded up, but to battle back and to have those cracks at the end, and then you got the ball with the second left and shoot it, right?
Yeah, I mean, this, like I said, all year we fought to 0-0. I mean, when I made that shot against Illinois State, I mean, I guess that you can't always make them all, but just keep you got to keep calm, and the game's not over till it's over. You got to just keep crawling and scratching and trying to find a way. Because I mean, sometimes games can fall your way, and I believe we was gonna win till, I mean, the clock says 0-0. I never thought we was gonna lose, but sometimes it just doesn't go your way, and this happened to just be our time. It didn't go our way, so.
Coach, you've talked about building the culture all year. You say that it's intact. Just now that it's over, what can you say about the two guys sitting next to you and how much they've built this culture for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, they are responsible for what our culture stands for today. You know, the thing about culture is you got to fight for it every day. And these guys have literally fought every day, and they've yet to have a bad practice. They haven't always played well, but they've really fought. And you know, when we talk about culture, we talk about behavior that we will allow. And these guys have, first of all, come from great families, so they know how to act. I don't have to worry about teaching them how to be young men. I just have to worry about developing them into men. And that they're definitely a great example of that. And then obviously on the floor, we just tell our guys to do your best. And when you watch these two guys, I don't think you ever guess if they're doing their best. So that they've definitely upheld that obligation for this first year.
And for the guys, just how hard, how easy was it to fight for that culture every day? And when you're looking back at if there's any success in the future, just how much are you going to feel like you guys had an impact on that?
Ryan, lead us off, please.
Me and JD, we've been playing for a while together. I'm sure most of y'all know that. I mean, that's just the type of players I feel like we've always been. You know, we've always been fighters. We've always been team guys. So when Coach Ford came in, we kind of embraced his culture. I mean, felt like we were perfect for it. So
yeah, just same thing. Just to have him say like we were, I guess started this whole culture of just being good teammates and stuff like that. It really makes us feel better. Just that we came in as, I mean, seniors that went through 3 years that was kind of tough, and him to just come in and just open us up to his arms and his family like he's known us for our life, and just for us to stick with it and just start a new thing, a new program, a new atmosphere. Just a lot of good things is going to come to this program, I believe. It just makes us feel better.
In that game, Coach Tulio, just 3 points. How tough was that? And just the job that Bradley did to shut him down, and how much did that break the back of the game plan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you get to March, you know, your marquee guys got to play. I mean, teams have a week to prepare for people. Same way we prepared for their marquee guys, and they did it on him for 40 minutes. We were only able to do it on Childs for it looks like a half, and players got to play, man. We'll have to go back and watch the tape. But I thought they were really physical, maybe that was the reason why. But without watching the tape, analyzing the tape, I can't tell you exactly. But players got to play.
Coach, as you enter really your first full off season, just what do you want to see improve, and what's the next few weeks look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think like most people, we'll hit the road recruiting tonight. Our guys will be out somewhere tomorrow, and we'll try to fill the voids that we have in our roster. You know, this year we had guys sitting out, so our numbers are down. We lost guys throughout the year, so our numbers continue to decrease. We had players on our roster that just aren't quite ready to be thrown in the fire. Overall, they would hurt the team more than they would help. So our numbers have been limited. So we've got to do a good job of building up a roster with 13 available bodies. You know, some of our shortcomings this year have come when we can't keep our intensity level high. Well, the guys obviously get tired and get worn out, and we have to get creative. Well, how are we going to do things? But moving forward, hopefully we don't have that problem. Hopefully, you know, there's what we like to call competition by position. And that's the first thing we need to do. And then the second thing we need to do is let our players that are returning rest. Give them some time off, have our end of year meetings. I guess spring break is this week, so that means the semester is coming to an end close, right around the corner. I have to finish well academically, and then we'll talk about our summer. It's pretty simple. This business is about recruiting and then building a team, and that's basically what we'll be doing.
For either or both of the student athletes, given where you guys were about 2 to 3 weeks ago, a chance to win the regular season and then to have it end as quick as it did here, does that add to the level of frustration or disappointment that it ended the way it did?
Jared, then Ryan, please.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, we were close to winning the conference. I mean, something we haven't, this school hasn't done in a while. And just took the positives with it. Just try to come in, prepare for this tournament as hard as we can, think we're going to make a run, because, I mean, we've lost a couple games, but, I mean, you see teams that they don't always win a regular season, and they win tournaments like this, and the teams that win the regular season lose early, but, I mean, it's definitely frustrating, man. It's definitely frustrating just to just all the work we put in to put ourselves in a position to, I mean, win this game. But, I mean, it's just, I mean, it's only going to be one team that wins the tournament. So, I mean, tough.
And I think that's how we're going to end this week's edition of the Wyatt Wheeler podcast. I am Wyatt Wheeler. This was fun. I had a good chat with Blaine, had some clips and stuff that we'll keep experimenting with, see how you guys like. Please give me feedback. Tell me what you want more of, what you want less of. We'll try to have a little more fun next week. We're going to have, I'm sure I'll have some talk about DeJuan Harris and Jamonte Black coming through Springfield and whatever other news comes through. Try to have a little more fun. I'm sure I'll try to get... And see, the idea with Bailey is to my favorite thing in the world is going through a car wash, and she knows that. And sometimes I pick her up and we go through a car wash. I haven't done that in a long time, but and that's going to happen this week probably because I'm going to be on her and be more prepared for that. But yeah, thanks for listening to this week's edition of the podcast. I'm Wyatt Wheeler at Wyatt Wheeler _NL. Thanks.